the reading is from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me and his holy name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped the servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever."
Thank you, Bethan, very much. Mary began her song with these words: "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." You can read her song for yourself in these Luke's Gospels, which we're giving away around Christmas time. They're on the table at the back over there. If you've not got one, do pick one up as you leave. Christmas songs. Human beings, well, we love celebrating, don't we? We've got some pictures coming up on the screen behind me to just help you engage with the message of Christmas and the message of Mary's song. Yeah, human beings, we love to celebrate. Our parties and our feasts are filled with eating and drinking and stories and games and dancing. We love music and singing. And at Christmas time, we mix the old songs and the new ones. And the sound of familiar favourites can be heard in churches, in schools, in pubs, on the television and on the radio. Meanwhile, pop stars, celebrities and wannabes try to hit number one with their new and latest sound. Just have a conversation briefly with the person sat next to you. What do you think makes for a good song? What makes for a good song? You might want to finish this sentence off. XYZ is a good song because of what? Why? What makes a good song? Just have a little conversation with the person sat next to you for a couple of minutes, and then you can feed in your thoughts. Okay, what are your thoughts then? You obviously got a lot of thoughts. There's a good buzz there. What kind of things make for a good song? Anyone want to shout out what they think makes for a good song? Grace, is that your hand way up? You're going to have to talk real loud, shout it out, because people over here, like Obi, may not hear. You're actually sat in Obi's chair, and he's over here, which is unusual. What makes for a good song, Grace? I can't hear you myself. Sorry. Having a good voice. Who spoke up for you there with a big voice? Your big sister. Good to see you. Happy Christmas. What else makes for a good song? Hannah on the front here.
A good tune.
A good voice and a good tune. Yeah. Yes. Sorry. The message behind the song. Yes, Tom. It raises an emotion, yeah. Sorry? Auto-tuning. I don't even know what he just said. You can explain later on. Anything else? Anyone else want to add anything else? Karen? Words that we can understand and sing along with. Yeah, Nathan, you had your hand up. Experience, yeah, that you can share and the like. Yeah, I think you've all pretty well covered some of the things that I've got noted down here. A memorable and a good tune, a good voice. It may well be what makes a good song is the moment when you first heard it. It was a memorable occasion for you. Where the music fits the meaning. It's odd if the music doesn't fit, you know, a happy tune and a sad word. No, it's the words and the music go together. Dave said the other day, Crofty said, a song puts perhaps familiar things in a fresh way. And we go, ah, right, I've not seen it or thought about it that way before. Authenticity, I think some have said, you know, the singer's experience. Perhaps they know, you can tell that they know what they are singing about. The best songs come sometimes out of experience, sometimes out of love, and sometimes out of loss. Christmas songs. Mary sang the original Christmas carol. What Bethan read for us a moment ago was the first ever, I think, Christmas number one. And sometimes we call it the Magnificat, and that comes from one of the words that she uses in her song. I don't know, what must have it have been like to be Mary? What must have it been like for her? See, Mary was young, probably still a teenager. But we talk about experience, making a good song. Talk about Mary's life experience. Visited by an angel with a personal message from Almighty God. Talk about emotional intensity, being a virgin, and yet having a baby who would rule the world forever. Talk about a close and profoundly intimate encounter. She had the Son of God within her own body. In her womb. Christmas songs. Mary's song. You know, things were set for an all-time hit, were they not, for Mary? Taking that cocktail of mixture of experience that she was going through at the time. It was set for a hit. No wonder Mary got my soul and my spirit into the first verse. This is no deep as a puddle, one-hit wonder teenage song. Yeah, sure, probably a teenager, but Mary knew soul music, I would suggest, hundreds of years before anyone else came up with the idea. The thing that made her living, the thing that made her human in God's image, deeper than her heart beating, deeper than the flowing of her blood and the chemistry of her brain, her soul. Her spirit was moved. Her song came from the very heart, the very bottom, the very depth of her inner being, her very self. She spoke from the deepest level. And it welled up into a song. My soul, my spirit magnifies, which is where we get the word Magnificat from. Magnifies, rejoices. Magnifies, from which we get the word mega. Megaphone, loud. Rejoices. That is just sheer gladness and happiness and joy. What caused her to turn up the volume, as it were, on her happiness? Was it her extraordinary life experience? Partly yes, I'm sure. Was it the emotional intensity of her calling? Yeah, partly, I'm sure. Was it a uniquely intimate encounter with God? For which she says in her song, people forever will remember her, and we are today, singing and thinking about her song. We'd have thought it was all of those things, but those weren't the main thing. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in what? In God my Saviour. That's right, God my Saviour. She magnifies, rejoices in God my Saviour. See, Mary in her song, she emphasises, she goes big on one thing about God and she goes big on one thing about human beings. With God, she goes big on God's mercy. That is God's undeserved compassion. Children, your mum and dad may have said to you this Christmas time that Christmas isn't about getting, it's about giving. And I'm going to say they're wrong. Christmas is actually all about getting. Yeah, be excited about the gifts that you're going to receive. And as you do, don't forget the mercy of God. What an undeserved gift that is. Getting what we don't deserve. Is that not fabulous? Is that not wonderful? She says in her song, His mercy is for those who fear Him. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. God's mercy. And when it comes to men and women and children, what did she emphasize there? Well, she emphasized this. She emphasized humility before God. He, that is God, has looked at the humble estate of His servant. He has exalted those of humble estate. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones. And the rich, He sent empty away. How do you make a rich person empty? Answer, give them more riches. Those who, as it were, never get turned down from club membership or only ever travel first class and so presume that God won't be able to resist, stop Himself welcoming them into heaven, or those who never get rejected from a social circle, or who get so used to bossing other people around, they think that God will do as He's told to. Those who presumptuously and arrogantly think in their own hearts, well, if I don't believe God exists, that really means He doesn't exist. Well, all those have got something coming, haven't they? According to Mary's song. Mary makes no presumptions at all. Some would say that Mary's conception of Jesus spoke about her being immaculate herself. I don't think she would be happy with that. Not according to her own words, her own song. I think she would have been very unhappy about another title which sometimes people give to her, the Queen of Heaven. You see, her song just shouts out loud. It is astounding. It is incomprehensible that God should have noticed me. Why? He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is my name. No, 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 no. Holy is His name. She knew she was a sinner in need of a Saviour. She rejoices and magnifies God, her Saviour. Now, people think that Dr. Luke, who wrote this gospel, intelligent man, a physician, got his information for the early part of the gospel from Mary. And some of the intimate detail, we'd say, yes, I think he probably did. Can we imagine Mary reciting her song to him, you know, when she comes around, Luke comes around to see Mary and says, you know, tell me about it. And she says, actually, I wrote a song. Can I just sing it to you? Can I show it to you? Can you imagine her sharing her song with Dr. Luke? In the light of actually being there witnessing her son Jesus' death upon the cross, her Saviour dying for all sinners. See, her song, as we have it in Luke's Gospel, isn't just that moment when she heard she was going to give birth to the Saviour. It comes in the context, actually, of her life and the information she's given Luke. It's Luke telling us about her song. And he's gone all the way through his Gospel to speak about Jesus' death and His resurrection. She knew what it was to be in need of a Saviour. And so she sung, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Okay, I'm drawing things to a close, but I want to tell a story. Some of you will know it. It's one of my favourite films. And just to help, some pictures are going to come up on the screen, okay? The Shawshank Redemption. The Shawshank Redemption is probably the best film never to have won an Oscar. Andy Dufresne, acted by Tim Robbins, is falsely accused of murdering his wife. And although he's innocent, he's sentenced to life imprisonment in an unimaginably cruel prison. At one point in the film, Andy manages to lock himself in the warden's office, from which he plays some Italian opera through a PA system to the entire prison. Everyone stops and everyone listens. As a result, Andy gets a beating and quite a long time in solitary confinement. Later on, his friend Red, played by Morgan Freeman, says this of that moment, which is depicted on the screen behind me. Red says this: "I have no idea to this day what those two Italian ladies were singing about. Truth is, I don't want to know. Some things are best left unsaid. I'd like to think they were singing about something so beautiful it can't be expressed in words and makes your heart ache because of it. I tell you, those voices soared higher and farther than anybody in our grey place dared to dream. It was like some beautiful bird flapped into our drab little cage and made those walls dissolve away. And for the briefest of moments, every last man in Shawshank felt free." I think that is a really good description of beauty. You and me, Christmas time. Mary experienced something so beautiful that it made her soul and her spirit ache. She put it into words because she wanted others, you and me, to be humble ourselves and to experience God's mercy too. She wanted our souls and hearts to ache within us with gladness and joy. Her song calls us to dream beyond our grey and drab and broken and sinful and fallen world, our painful world. And we can. We can. Because the holy, mighty Lord God of the universe has, as it were, fluttered into our world. He has dissolved the cage walls of sin and judgment and death forever. Mary gave birth to the Son of God, through whom you can become a child of God. Does your heart, soul, inner spirit not begin to want to say, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour"? See, Mary's song calls us to experience God's mercy afresh. And that is supernatural. It is radical. It means a change of heart, a change of soul, and a change of spirit. And I can't do that for you. It's a miracle. If it hasn't happened for you, I just want you to lead you, as it were, as I'm speaking, to the brink where you know I can't do it, you can't do it for yourself. But in humility, you say, "Lord, please, would you make my soul ache for you in gladness?" It does mean a change of whole heart and soul and spirit. And the evidence of that is new decisions. It's a new way of life. But this is the main thing I want to say. Like Mary, it also means new desires, new feelings, and heart-wrenching joy and joy. and happiness. Look at the picture on the screen there. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Just flung out in joy. What holds you back? What holds us back? Is it an unforgiving spirit? Is it some bitterness that we've allowed to dwell upon? To grow? Is it self-pity? We feel a lack of justice towards us and we've dwelt upon it? Is it because we don't believe and we're stuck in a moment and we think, well, actually, I don't want to believe. That's where I am. Is it cynicism? I want to suggest today might be the day when you stop listening to yourself and you flip things around and you start speaking to yourself. You tell yourself what you know to be true about yourself and about God. And you perhaps begin to raise your arms and say, Lord, I want to be yours. I don't want to be some miserable person stuck in my own sinful, self-pitying cage. I want to be free. My soul magnifies the Lord. Choose to say it. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Well, we're going to wrap things up by singing, I think many of us agree, one of the greatest hymns, carol songs at Christmas time. Hark, the herald angels sing. Let's lift our hearts, our spirits, our souls, our voices to God together as we sing.